Today on Real Radio.
Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Isn't that awesome? You could just hear Jesus say, suck it up. Suck it up, you guys, because the world hates me, you see. And Jesus would say to us this morning, there is an increasing hostility against Christians because Christians love me, Jesus would say.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, in a lesson called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, Pastor Jack looks at the book of John, chapter 14, when Jesus is about to send his disciples into the world without him personally. Their hearts were troubled by this, but he encouraged them not to be anxious over coming events. You know, our hearts can also be fearful when we're facing hard times. We are prone to get upset just like the disciples were as they anticipated the difficult journey ahead. But Jesus wants us to stop worrying by keeping our eyes on him and to have a sure foundation in the power of his word. Today, Pastor Jack tells us there is no other way to know ourselves and to know God except in the light of his word. God wants his truth to permeate our lives as we head towards the new year. The days ahead will be challenging, but with hope, perseverance, and expectation, we'll be ready to share the gospel of Jesus Christ without fear. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
John 14:1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. Isn't that a great word? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is an amazing statement because Jesus was getting ready to go back to heaven. He tells his disciples, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart go through the shift and the seismic eruption of the word meaning when the wind hits the shore or the water and really stirs up the sea. Don't be like that. In fact, when he says here, let not your heart, the words let not means, which is very practical, I love it. The words mean stop it. You need to maybe write that down. Jesus is saying stop it. He's not denying, he's not trying to spin some positive confession on us as a people. Jesus knows our hearts get erupted by the trauma of life. And Jesus says, just stop it. We're prone to get upset like that. Just stop it, Jesus is saying. You don't need to do that. And we would counter and we would say, why not? It's the end of a year and there's a new year coming. And if the new year is anything like the old year, I don't want it. Or I've had a really good old year and I don't want the new year to be any less than my good old year. And Jesus says, stop it. For this reason, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He was about to launch his disciples into the world without him personally. And they were going to be taking on the role of a pilgrim. A pilgrim. When we think about the word pilgrim, the description of a pilgrim, it's more than just Quaker-looking people on the East Coast of America with funny hats and a musket. Those pilgrims that landed on the East Coast of America, they were separatists. They were Puritans. They themselves called themselves pilgrims. And if you've ever read their history, they called themselves pilgrims based upon Hebrews chapter 11. John Robbins, their pastor in Leiden, Holland, with William Bradford, from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, assumed the title upon themselves. They said, we're leaving this world, we're going into a new one, and we are going to be pilgrims. And I read this verse today, and I want you to be thinking of yourself, and I speak to this house only. I speak only to the believer this morning as a pilgrim. And I think the fact that we're pilgrims might be more evident in the year ahead of us than ever in our Christian experience. And I mean this sincerely and seriously. Hebrews 11:13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth." The Bible also tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, when Peter spoke to the faithful, he says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion or the diaspora." It means they were on a journey. They didn't have any place to lay their heads in this world. They were Christians that were being persecuted from town to town, from country to country, and Peter wrote to them. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." Christian of this church, family of God of this church, as a pilgrim, one of the great signs of you and I being pilgrims is that you and I are encountering a world constantly that wars against our soul. Can you silently admit that you could agree today the world is warring against your soul constantly, more than ever? And as regarding pilgrims, if you've been to the East Coast of the United States, and you've been to some of the pilgrim settlements, when you've been to Jamestown, for example, and you see how they lived in 1607 and 1611 and 1617 and 1620 and onward, how they lived. If you've been there, you know that they were amazing survivors. We could not survive like they survived. They not only came to a hostile land, but listen, the only way that they survived is that they didn't think fashion, ladies and gentlemen. They didn't think hype. They think survival. That's how they thought. And whatever they caught, they used everything of it down to the bone. Whatever they ate everything down to the bone. And they survived. And that they not only survived, but they created a nation. But I speak to us as believers at this year's end because I feel very, very serious about preparing you for what's coming. You say, "Jack, what's coming?" I don't know. I don't know what's coming, but it's going to be big. Don't ask me what it is. I don't know, but I sense it in my gut. But listen, we're pilgrims. And so as we today really put this year behind us, you ever think about this? I get very sentimental at year's end for this reason. I've always thought of it in my mind that we surrender this year to the annals of history. We give it to God. It's done. You guys, you are not going to change one thing now about this year. It's over. It's done. You and I had opportunities to do things for God that we did. We had opportunities to do things for God this year that we didn't do. It's over. There's no reclaiming it. It's done. It's written. God writes it down. In Malachi 3, he says he records it in his book of remembrance. It's done. What does that make you feel like, church? What regrets do you have this year? What great encouragement do you have this year? What is it that you've learned as a church family? What did we learn this year? We cannot let this year go away without extracting out of it great lessons. Don't let the clock vandalize or victimize you, and you press hard headlong into a new year without learning things of the old. And so I want to point out a few things that mean something to me, and maybe they mean something to you, I hope. If we're going to be the pilgrims that God would have us to be in 2016, and if we're going to fly under the banner of "Let not your heart be troubled," then you know what? I think we need to think of a few things. And number one is we need to make sure that our hearts are not troubled in the facing increasing hostility towards Jesus Christ, the way the world is going. In the face of increasing hostility, you guys, toward Jesus Christ. How many of you are Christians this morning? Just raise your hands in all honesty. If you're not, don't raise your hand. Listen, those of us who are Christians, it's time now that we stop playing games and realize the world is absolutely anti-Jesus Christ in all kinds of ways, shapes, and forms. And the more biblical you're going to be this year, the more you're going to be rejected just like Jesus is rejected. Many of you are going to be pressured into giving up this year. Many of you are going to be pressured to compromise your commitment and your understanding of the Word of God this year. And I want to announce that in advance so that maybe it can cut that line of poison off before it hits. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, look, in John 14, I'm going to keep going back to that, but now turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and you can stay there for the rest of the day. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10. And remember, I'm not preaching, I'm not teaching, we're just talking today, okay? So, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. In the face of increasing hostility towards Jesus Christ, what am I to do? You see, what am I supposed to do? Thank God he's not left us without a witness. This is what we're supposed to do. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Number one, be strong in the Lord. Circle it. This is your marching orders. Number one, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Notice, not your power, not my power, his power. Okay? Verse 11, put on. Number two is put on. Put on the whole armor of God. We're tempted to say, where is it? Where do I buy it? How do I get it? Show me where. Listen, for those of you who know where it is, you know where it is. For those of you who do not know where it is, you don't know where it is. You say, well, that's pretty obvious. Really? Listen, you only know where the armaments are to put on for this year ahead if you read your Bible. If you do not read your Bible, then you don't know what I'm talking about. I love you, but listen, you're not going to survive unless you're in the Bible. You will not make it. Sex will steal you away from your husband or your wife. Money or the temptation of it will pull you away from more serious or godly commitments. Pressures of this world will crush you unless you have a foundation in the Bible. Good thing for you, the chapter we're reading tells you all about the weaponry and the armaments that we're to wear. He says in verse 10, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, Ephesians 6, 10 through 11 is all that we need to survive 2016 if we do it. There's the instruction here for us, three ways. Be strong, put on, be able. Or else we're not going to make it. Remember, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Okay, Jesus, then with what's coming? With what I'm going to encounter, what do I do? Be strong in him. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand. And this is how you get dressed. By the way, did you see the temperature this morning? It was 29 degrees coming down here this morning. So what'd you do? You get dressed. Those pilgrims got dressed before they went out into the elements, did they not? You bundle up. Listen, you bundle up and you go out into the winter air, do you not? Well, I want to bundle you up in the word and get you out there. John 15, verse 18. John 15, 18. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Isn't that awesome? You could just hear Jesus say, suck it up. Suck it up, you guys, because the world hates me, you see. And Jesus would say to us this morning, there is an increasing hostility against Christians because Christians love me, Jesus would say. If you say you're a Christian, you don't love Jesus, guess what? 1 John says you're not a Christian. You can say you're a Christian all you want, but that doesn't make you a Christian. You're a Christian if you love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, you're going to be hated. And in 2016, the pressure, listen, like a screw, it's going to come down on you to compromise your love for Jesus so that you can be loved by your boss. So you can be loved by your coworkers, so you can be loved by the godless family that you and I have who pressure you into thinking like they do. And they're not going to be happy, ladies and gentlemen, until you think like they think. And you are under attack this year to come. You say, Jack, are you going to encourage us or what? I am encouraging you. I am. Jesus says, when that happens, let not your heart be troubled. The world's going to hate us, you guys, because we don't talk like the world. They're going to hate us because we don't act like them. We don't think like them. We don't love them in their sin. We love them for God loves them. But we don't love what they do. And we're going to be hated for that. We're going to be pilgrims for reason number two in the face of increasing physical demonic influences. Now, this is one of those points where people in the sanctuary right now are going to be tempted to roll their eyes back and... That sounded funny, huh? they're going to be tempted to roll their eyes back in their head and spew green soup out of their mouth. And no, I'm kidding. This is one of those things where people go, oh, brother. No, brother, nothing. Because first of all, demonic influences do not jump out in front of you with furry face and fangs hanging out of their, you know, with pitchforks and stuff. Demonic activity, we know from Scripture that it manifests itself in first of all in ways that are not easily noticeable at first. Could be a very bizarre, unexplainable rift among husband or wife or family. Are unusually indescribable things that are going on within the church where it makes no sense. There's no explanation for this. Why is this happening? And listen, one of the great attacks of the enemy spiritually in the demonic realm is to get you to not believe them. I told you a couple weeks ago, did I not, to make sure you get your hands on the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis and read it? If you missed that exhortation a couple weeks ago, if you missed it, I'm telling you right now, get your hands on C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letters. Paul the Apostle is telling the believers at Ephesus, you need to be very, very wise and war against the wiles of the devil. The devil's real. Jesus said he was real. And if he can get you to not believe, then he's got you. But he's real. Verse 12 says in Ephesians 6, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You can almost hear the apostle say, that would be easy. You can shoot flesh and blood. You can stab it. You can drown it and choke it. How do you do that to an invisible foe? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, invisible things. Jesus said in the last days it's going to increase. The influence of evil is going to increase. Listen, you don't need to answer me. Just think for a moment. Can you think of anything that you can pin the tail on the donkey that says that's evil? Is that evil? Can you think of an evil? Can you say that's evil? I can pin evil on this donkey right here. I'm not asking you what it is. I'm just asking you, can you? Have you noticed it's increasing? I'm shocked to see how much things have changed in the last 3 years regarding evil, let alone the last 10 years. Jesus warned that there's going to be increasing demonic influence as we approach the end days, the last days. But listen, I mean this as a loving rebuke to all of us. Sadly, due to a lack of real, true Christian involvement in the Christian's life, most Christians have absolute zero discernment regarding spiritual activity. They're very quick to blame their husband or their wife or their mom or their dad or their kids for what's going on in the world around them. They're very, very quick to fall for the trap and for the trick. They see everything in the physical. Well, you know what? The whole thing's been going crazy in this family because you haven't been making enough money. Everything's been going crazy because ever since you started reading those books, the power's behind them. With every temptation, if you are out trying to poison gophers in your backyard, you take poison and you put it in the ground, okay? Listen, the reason why there's poison in the ground going after the gopher is your motive. Your motive is invisible, is it not, ladies and gentlemen? The gopher doesn't sit there and go, whoa, what could possibly be the motive behind this? The gopher just goes, all right, wow, this is fantastic. Somebody put chocolate in this hole down here, and this is great. They don't know about the motive. They don't think like they're not even thinking on that plane, but you have a motive. What's your motive?
Kill
the gopher. Right? Everything has a motive. The temptations that are going on in your life that's going to come, the issues that are going to come to your door, to your heart this year to come. Good, bad, or ugly, just know this. There's invisible motives behind them. Don't be the gopher. That's the second title of today's message. Don't be the gopher. Let not your heart be troubled. In Mark chapter 13, this is how we get dressed. Let not your heart be troubled. We're going to be pilgrims. We're going out there. This is how you get dressed. Mark 13, 21. If anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ. By the way, Jesus said in the last days, you're going to be hearing more of people announcing that they can save the world. They'll save the world. They can be the Messiah. Or, look, he is there. Do not believe it, Jesus says. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed. See, I've told you all these things beforehand. Do you see Jesus wrapping you and I up and getting us dressed for a world that is going to be demonically deceptive, and he sends us out into the world? Listen, he doesn't send us out to be consumed by it. He sends us out to go rescue those who are lost in it. I'm a strong believer in the resiliency of our Christianity. I believe that as a Christian, if we exercise our faith in all areas of life, we will be very, very, look, we may not be pretty, but we will be beautifully weathered saints. Because think of a Christian. Oh, you see that one? I got that one in the battle. That's the battle of when my family was under attack. Oh, you see this? This is where I got shot by one of those darts by the enemy. This is when he was trying to take my wife from me. Oh, this one right here. Man, that's where I got my side blown up when Satan was out to destroy my kids. Do you hear what I'm saying? Listen, I hope we finish this course weathered. I don't want to look like G.I. Joe plastic coming out of the box, right? I want to look like, I want you and I want this church to finish where we're dirty, you know what? Kind of like those guys in the Private Ryan movie. They were successful, mission accomplished, but they've got some blood splattered on them. They're kind of half shaven. They're dirty. They got a hole in their outfit, you know? Their things are broken up, but you know what? They're standing there. Don't you feel that? Don't you hear that? When scripture says Paul the apostle laid his life down at the end and said, I have fought the fight. I finished the course. Do you see him bloodied? Do you see him bruised? We will be bruised of the soul, bruised of the spirit, bruised of the heart. No doubt about it. But listen, if we hang on to Jesus, we win. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John 2, 20 and 27, two verses, powerful. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You say, what does that mean? Verse 20 means this, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. The Holy One in the context of chapter 2 is the Holy One is the Holy Spirit. What is the anointing? The Holy Spirit is upon the life of a believer. Please listen, everybody. The Bible teaches that God's kids have got an anointing upon them that's given to them by God, and it is the Holy Spirit who is the custodian of their life. The Holy Spirit.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Thanks for listening. Pastor Jack's desire is for you not to give up, but to press hard into the Lord in this coming new year, and to take with you the great lessons from the past. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, in spite of what we might think about social media with its often negative forms of expression, it does have a worldwide audience. So why don't we use this as an opportunity to spread the gospel? That's why Pastor Jack is on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. He wanted to create a forum where our Christian beliefs have a voice and where user participation is encouraged. You know, many of you have already subscribed to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. A lot of us are friends with him on Facebook and follow on Instagram. But if you haven't checked out Pastor Jack's messages on social media, we invite you to do that right away. You'll not only be blessed, you might be inspired to share your insights as well. For more information, simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.